Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Enjoy.
Entering the world of Crisis on Infinite Films, brought to you by All Too Real 2 Podcast.
Okay, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the All Too Real 2 Podcast. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is my co-host and brother from another mother,
Matthew America Turkey Haas.
Turkey.
Yeah.
I like turkey.
The country, not
sandwich. Oh, I thought you were talking about the food.
Well, my lessons do have sandwich right now in the lessons of learning Turkish, so then I guess in a way, that is kind of a thing.
So
that's an ad for Duolingo right there.
Yes.
If Duolingo wants to sponsor our show,
yes.
I just did a free ad for Duolingo right now. So
see,
learning, yeah, see for Spanish, yes, that's yes.
Da.
That's one word, yeah. See, you're already learning. So
yep.
Like right now, biz su echeras. What does that mean? I'm not sure, but I think it means let's see here. Hold on. This is going to work, I think. We drink water. Let's just see if this works out here. Biz su echeres. Yes, I was right. So if I'm ever in Turkey and I need to utter the phrase, we drink water, I know it. Biz su echeres. Right there. So
That's important. That's great. And that brings us to our topic at hand today.
Yeah.
We're venturing down the Crisis on Infinite Films.
Yeah.
Yes.
Based off the DC
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
But we're doing
a Marvel
movie. But we're just doing, you know, comic book movies here.
Yeah, DC only, you know.
We're covering comic book movies that weren't that well received, such as the movie we watched, which was Shrek Has a Tizzy. Oh, wait. No. Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
Shrek Has a Tizzy?
And, yeah, and Shrek,
Shrek is a little perturbed.
Yeah. And, oh, God. This movie was boring.
And talks a lot. And a lot.
And a lot.
And a lot.
And has a lot of dreams.
Yes.
Lots of dream sequences.
So you probably know this from the description on the episode here, which most people probably read before they listen to I don't think anybody just stumbled upon this podcast.
Probably not.
We are covering the 2003 film Hulk, directed by Ang Lee, starring Eric Bana, Nick Nolte, Jennifer Connelly, and Sam Elliott, and
yep.
Josh Lucas,
yep.
Among other actors, I'm sure. They were in the movie, right? There yep. were other people.
All-star cast mm-hmm. in this movie.
Yes. And a Academy Award-winning director.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I believe. I don't know. I'm just saying. He probably won one once.
By now, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what went wrong here, but
yeah,
something did.
I see what he was going for here. He was trying to make it more comic book-like. But there wasn't as much of the action in an action film that you would want. It's pretty boring. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 hours and 18 minutes long.
Yep. And you probably could have told this whole movie in about maybe 90 minutes or less.
Or less, yeah. Oh, God. So, this is a weird story. All right, so, like, you know the TV show, if you've seen it. I mean, that probably took liberties from the comic
book. Oh, that was completely different than the comic book.
Oh, it had nothing to do with
the,
it at all.
The original, you're talking about the 70s TV show series. Yeah, I mean, they even changed his name to David Banner because this is honestly the truth from what I've read. The reason that they changed his name to David from Bruce is because they thought the name Bruce sounded gay.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
Which would be news to my mom's husband, who's named Bruce.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the 70s for you, I guess. Mm-hmm. But basically, in this movie, his dad works in a lab in, like, the 1960s or 70s, and he's doing all these kinds of experiments, like, with starfish, like, cutting off the arms of starfish and taking its juice out and creating all these weird potions and concoctions, and he's giving it to Bruce as a child. There's really no explanation as to why he's doing any of this stuff. And then just the guy at the mil- 'cause they worked at a military base and lived there, and one of the guys who works for the military, like a sergeant or whatever, he stops the work in the lab, just puts an end to it, and then Bruce's dad completely flips his shit and then churns up a bunch of levers and stuff for radiation, I guess, I don't know, and he goes home and they put Bruce under a table or I don't know. Then he goes and has a huge argument with his wife / Bruce's mother in the bedroom for like what feels like 5 minutes. And then there's a bunch of screaming. And then Bruce wakes up as an adult. No, there's like a whole sequence of him growing up. So he's got like a new mother figure.
And then, by the way, his dad's name in the movie is David Banner, like on the TV series. Yeah,
funny. And then he goes out to college. And his new mother figure is saying, you're all grown up, blah, blah, blah. You never see her at all anymore. It's like he just completely abandoned his like, adopted mother, apparently. There's no explanation as to what happened to her or anything at all in this movie.
You know, you don't always hang out with your parents.
No, you don't, but you think at some point that you would, like, mention their existence. Like he doesn't even, I don't know. And then flash forward, and he's, like, 30 years old now. And he's working in the lab, doing the same work that his dad was doing, but he doesn't know his dad. So they're trying to imply that there's like some kind of weird connection that he doesn't even know about because he's interested in the same thing his dad was interested in, which again is kind of a weird thing. I mean, it's like, like I was saying, to Mike, if my dad happened to be a serial killer and then also worked in the factory, then that means if I ever get a job at a factory, that automatically makes me a serial killer too. Like, I guess that's the logic of the
film. It does.
But okay, so I hope not.
That's why I never filled vending machines like my dad did.
Because, wait, what? What else happened? I mean, that's like the beginning of it. Like,
so basically, okay, in a nutshell. A 2 hour and 18 movie, 2 hour and 18 minute movie in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Basically, okay. So, Bruce has this girlfriend, now ex girlfriend or whatever, Betsy Ross is the woman that made the flag.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the, supposedly, even though that's probably a lie. But, anyways, we're going to not talk about American history. Or American fiction. It's all lies, man. Lies. I'm turning into David Banner here.
Whoa. Ugh.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, so Nick Nolte plays the grown-up David Banner.
Yeah.
Who gets a job at the lab as a security guard or something at night, or a janitor or whatever the fuck it is, you know, and he's crazy and he talks like this. Yes. Then he, wait. Anyways, I'm going to stop that voice. He's basically trying to tell Bruce what's up. Bruce, there's an accident at one point. Bruce turns into the Hulk. Mm-hmm. He gets gamma rays, but we don't know he can turn into the Hulk yet because he hasn't gotten angry yet. Yeah, he turns into the Hulk at one time and basically destroys the lab, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so all this stuff gets found out, basically, that Bruce is the Hulk. Betty's dad, General Thunderbolt Ross, that's his nickname, is Thunderbolt in the comics. I don't think they ever refer to him that in the movies. But he's basically got a vendetta to try to get Bruce and Bruce's dad because of some bullshit that happened years ago when Bruce's dad was crazy. For a movie this long, it doesn't explain shit.
It doesn't.
Boring as fuck, and it doesn't really explain anything. I mean, I respect everybody involved in this movie. I'm a big fan of Sam Elliott, who plays Ross. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the "It's Ross for Dinner" guy, and
Prancer.
Yeah, and he was in Big Lebowski, and
yeah,
he's on The Ranch right now on Netflix, which is actually kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Anyways, despite the whole Danny Masterson of it all. And, yeah. We're not going to discuss the rapist. Anyways, yeah. Allegedly.
Got to be careful.
Yes.
For any kind of, what do you call it? Defamation.
Or libel or
whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. All that shit, you know. Slander.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So eventually they try to, you know, shit happens.
It's so hard to follow.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
The movie's all over the fucking place.
But see, we don't know what Nick Nolte / David Banner's intentions for Bruce were. Because at one point, he says that he implies that he's been doing experiments on Bruce to try to create the Hulk... Like, even as he's a child, at, like, 3 years old. But then, when he's taking notes, it says something about, like, transmission of disease to a child. So then, we're left thinking, oh, maybe David Banner has a disease and he's trying to make it so his son doesn't get the same disease he has. But then, later on, he's then saying again that he has a cure, but then... It's not a cure. He wants him to have the power. It's like, there's no logic to it at all. Like, it's just completely...
I don't understand the motivation of David Banner at all.
There is no motivation. I think it's just crazy. It's the only thing I could think of. Or, like I said, maybe there was, like, 10 different stories, and then there was no one to take charge, and they just, like, left, like, pieces of every person's story into this movie, and then they just, like, did, like, put it in a bag and shake it up, and then... There it is. There's the movie for you. Again, not trying to be disrespectful, but it's just like,
yeah,
I don't understand what was the plot of this movie. Like, I don't understand what David's deal was. I don't really understand. I don't understand Ross's vendetta against Bruce, frankly, for being a 3-year-old child. How is it the fault of a 3-year-old child what his parents do or what one of his parents do? But then again, you know, Professor Snape was really mean to Harry Potter just because his dad and him didn't get along in school. So I guess some people are just complete dickheads that they'll just take it out on children of people. And then,
but in the end, Snape was actually trying to protect Harry.
So, yeah, but he was still an asshole.
Yeah, I know. I mean, anyways, he's misunderstood.
He's not. He was a real dick.
The movie is credited to 3 different screenwriters.
Okay.
Which, I mean, can be a good thing or can be a bad thing because, I mean, I'm saying that now because I'm currently writing a screenplay and I'm bringing on screenwriters to help me with it. So, could be a good thing or a bad thing. But, I mean, the story was by one of the 3 screenwriters.
Okay.
So, but, yeah. I just, it is just kind of confusing. So basically, in the end, though, they end up letting the Hulk out to escape from this place.
Yeah, they had him.
That was really descriptive.
They had him held in some military facility in the desert, kind of near where they used to have the desert town, the desert military base,
where Bruce was when he was a baby.
When they grew up in this, both him and Betty grew up, well, at least for the first few years, in this military base / makeshift town or whatever, and. What happened was, because I think you, I don't know if you saw that scene, but what happened was with David, when he was pushing all those levers and stuff, he was basically turning up all the radiation, and he created an explosion. And that's what he did.
Oh, okay.
They saw this mushroom cloud, but it was all green.
Yeah.
So I guess that was supposed to imply that it was just like a gamma explosion.
Oh, okay.
That he, because basically... to get back at getting fired, he was going to basically just blow up the place.
Yeah.
That was his punishment to the people who fired him or made him discontinue his great work. I guess the only thing I could think of is that maybe the overarching plan of David was that all along he wanted to be kind of like a superhuman, because he kept going into these weird speeches about like, going against God's boundaries and basically like beating nature, like that was his big goal in life, was to prove that he can do whatever nature says can't be done, and then that the governments and somehow he got into weird like paleo religions were created a conspiracy to not let you do that. I don't know. It sounds like the ravings of a crazy person, and I guess that's what they were going for, kind of, but it wasn't very well executed, in my opinion, because I was like, I wasn't sure if we were supposed to know that he's crazy for saying this, or if this is what the filmmakers themselves are trying to say. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't sure which was what. I don't know, yeah.
It's,
don't mean to be too rude about this movie, but...
I think the thing is we're being too irreverent because it's directed by Ang Lee.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm just saying that it's just,
And what else happened? We skipped the last. Oh, yeah, the dogs. He's got dogs.
He experimented on the dogs, and they basically became Hulk dogs. And at one point, he sends them out to, like, basically... attack Betty for some reason.
I think he did that because he wanted Bruce to turn.
Yeah.
And he knew that would make him angry or scared enough to do that. I don't know.
It's still stupid. I mean, my thing is yeah, like, what did Betty do? I mean...
Well, no, but he might have a vendetta against Betty just like...
Because she's Ross. Because she's a Ross.
Just as Ross has a vendetta against Bruce that he wants to kill her or at least scare her enough to, just because, she's... lineage of this guy who fired him, or I don't know. And then so there was that scene where he becomes the Hulk, and he goes to her house that's kind of by like a pond or whatever, and then the dogs come, and there's a fight scene with the dogs, and he kills the dogs. There's a lot of animal abuse in this movie, by the way. Like they're killing animals left and right here: monkeys, toads, frogs, dogs. Even maybe a cat, I'm not sure, but
unicorns.
No unicorns.
Oh.
No.
No.
So he kills the dogs,
giraffes.
At least. No giraffes, no. None. There was a monkey though.
Elephants?
There was a monkey. No elephants, no.
Grizzly bears?
Mm-mm, no bears.
Tigers?
Nope, no tigers.
Frogs?
There was a rat, I think, though.
Frogs?
Yeah, there was frogs that exploded. Okay.
Monkeys?
There was a monkey, yeah.
Dogs?
There was dogs.
Ruff, ruff.
No. They're more like a poodle. Like
ruff, ruff, ruff.
No.
Ruff.
Yeah, they made that sound. Ruff. They're mad. So he killed the dogs, and then he saves her, and then he... that took away all of his energy fighting the dogs. Then he fell into the pond, then he became Bruce again. And then that's how Betty found out that he was the Hulk, and then her dad found out somehow, and then that's what created the whole thing of, like, them trying to take him into this facility to do all this testing on him. B-side was there was this dude who worked for some company and was trying to monetize. Yeah,
Glenn Talbot is the name of the character, played by Josh Lucas.
Yeah, he's trying to get the DNA of the Hulk to make to weaponize it and make a fortune. And he gets killed during, like, a big fight scene because the Hulk is trying to escape. And Ross told him specifically to stay in his hospital bed or wherever he was because he got beat up pretty bad by the Hulk earlier. But he wants to make, you know, millions of dollars, so he's going to take a chance. So then he took a grenade gun and tried to shoot it at Bruce. I don't really understand what happened here because the bullet either backfired or the Hulk threw it back at him. I don't know exactly what happened, but the grenade gun or whatever, the grenade basically, you know, blew him up, killed him. It was implied, at least. And then and they showed, like, this really cheesy comic book graphic as he's, like, flying after the explosion, you know, killing him or whatever. I don't know. It was okay, I guess. But, sorry, it's really hard to talk about this in an interesting manner because it's not interesting.
It's boring as fuck. I'm sorry. This movie is just... I mean, I remember seeing it in theaters when it first came out and not being as bored as I was this time. But this is probably the third time I've watched the movie. I mean, I own the DVD, and I've probably never... I think I watched it once with, like, the audio commentary or something since I bought it.
That was probably more interesting.
Yeah, it was. I think I bought it for, like, a dollar somewhere.
Wow.
Or something, like, on sale. It's, like, or, you know, a used record store or something. But,
like, you think we're skipping
parts
of the movie? We're not. This is actually everything that happened in this movie.
There was a lot of talking.
There's no skipping. Yeah, a lot of talking.
There was, like, more like, intense talking in this than, like, an episode of General Hospital.
Yeah. That's probably why it didn't do so well. I mean, I like talking, really, dialogue, but...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know.
I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, I'm making some dramas now that are pretty much just talking, but they if you do it in an entertaining way, it's okay.
Yeah.
With a compelling story, but you've got, like, I don't know, just boring.
Right. So what else happened? Oh, yeah, because it was implied then, see, with the whole thing with David Banner. So at one point during these memory sequences, because throughout the movie, Bruce is having dreams about his early life, and sometimes they're, like, intentional dreams, like he's put into, like, a trance-like state or whatever. And then we learn that David at one point tried to kill Bruce, which I thought he was either A, trying to cure him, or B, trying to make sure he had powers, or C, trying to take the power from him. So I'm not sure how murdering a child would somehow take his power. Whatever. And then, and then he accidentally stabbed his wife in the process of doing that, and then she died, but not right away. She crawled out of the house and then put her hand up as the explosion happened, and I guess the explosion's what killed her. I don't know.
Yeah. And then in, like, the future, in the present day or whatever of the film, how's it end? We basically get, like, there's a big...
like a really long fight scene, like 20-minute long.
Yeah, and before that there was, like, a whole, like, confrontation between the dad and the son, between David and Bruce. And then basically that was just David trying to get Bruce to Hulk out.
Well, yeah, there was a really long fight scene before that, though, when he was jumping around a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Helicopters.
Yeah,
and like that.
Remember that.
That lasted a good 15 minutes.
And then they catch him.
And then they put him, they put both of his dad, him and his dad, in, like, this, like, warehouse, kind of like a room where they used to store, like, military jets, like, a really big open space, and they have him sitting down. And, yeah, they're monitoring them. And like you said, I guess they're just waiting for them to get
Hulk
all,
out
I don't
or something.
Know.
Yeah, and then his dad picks up a big electrical cord and eats it like it's a Twizzler or something. And then I don't know.
They turn the power on as he's doing it. And like you said, like that was just like to justify killing him, I guess.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Like they didn't feel right killing them as humans, but I guess as they turned and it's okay.
And then Bruce and David fight in some unknown area or somewhere, and then they blow it up.
They nuke that whole area.
Yeah, and they basically think that they killed both of them. And then we end the movie with Bruce showing up in, like, South Africa.
Yeah.
Or South America or something. South America, not yeah. South Africa. Yeah, so, yeah, that's the plot, man. So,
that's it, I mean.
Mm-mm. We're talking about, Shrek has a tizzy. A.K.A. Hulk, 2003, directed by Ang Lee.
Yep.
I'm either, David Banner or Alex Jones. I don't know which yet. Anyways, okay. So, yeah. So, here's some, trivia culled from the, Internet Movie Database.
Yes.
Yes. It. Okay. Okay, a lot of the microbiology work we see on screen is real.
Okay.
And the work of director Ang Lee's wife.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay.
Edward Norton was approached to play Bruce Banner, but turned it down, as despite being a fan of the Hulk, he didn't like the script. He later accepted the role in The Incredible Hulk.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. He didn't like this script, which I'm glad.
I wonder why, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Nick Nolte had grown his hair wildly for the movie when he was arrested on drunk driving charges and photographed for his now infamous mugshot.
See, I was wondering, I asked that, but was that during his wild
days? Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. He was grown out for this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if the movie's what pushed him over the edge.
Ang Lee employed the split-screen technique to cinematically mimic the panels of a comic book page. I liked what he was going for there, but I just... if the movie was more entertaining, it might have worked. This required many takes of one scene, which was draining for Eric Bana. It took him 4 takes to film Banner's first Hulk transformation, and by the time of its completion, he was on the verge of collapse. Wow. This is interesting. All of the Hulk scenes were performed in motion capture by Ang Lee.
What's that mean?
They had Ang Lee in a motion capture suit, which was a suit that it's got like a bunch of dots and stuff on it, and then they put it into a computer, and then they can turn that into the animated version of the character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like how they did Gollum and then they do like Rocket Raccoon, and I think they did him with motion capture, but they do a lot of characters with motion capture. That's how they did like Thanos and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, I mean, there's whole movies that are completely motion capture, like Polar Express and Beowulf, done by Robert Zemeckis, both of those. And that Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. Hmm. Those animated ones. Yeah. That look really creepy. at times. They're in the uncanny valley. Yeah. Yeah, the film was in development for 12 years. Sufficient time for the CGI to become sophisticated enough to render the visual effects needed. Kind of. Anyways,
That's 2003. It was pretty good, yeah. Probably for that, you know, 15, 16 years ago.
The Eric Bana commented that the mood during shooting was ridiculously serious and morbid. Director Ang Lee explained to him that he was shooting a sort of superhero tragedy, and he would be making a whole other movie about the Hulk at that industrial... Light and Magic Studios. Ironically, the film was criticized for being overly serious superhero film. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sam Elliott accepted the role of General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross without reading the script because he simply was excited to work with Ang Lee. In the Hulk comics, Bruce's father was named Brian Banner. He was renamed David Banner in the film as a tribute to the Incredible Hulk TV series, in which the Hulk was known as David Banner.
Right.
Yeah.
We did see a cameo with, well, not cameo, but with Lou Ferrigno and Stan Lee. Were...
Yes. That was cool. The house used by Betty Ross was also used in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Billy Crudup had turned down the role of Bruce Banner. Also considered were Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Jeff Goldblum, David Duchovny, and Steve Buscemi.
What? What, Steve Buscemi? Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, Ang Lee found he thought that the movie was influenced by King Kong, Frankenstein, and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Beauty and the Beast, and Faust. Yeah.
I did see a King Kong reference where he kind of picked her up gingerly and stuff like that.
When the project was in work in the mid-90s, Johnny Depp was originally the top choice to play Bruce Banner. Later on, Billy Crudup was Ang Lee's first choice to play Banner, but he declined the offer. When Tom Cruise was offered the role of Bruce Banner, and then Steve Buscemi, David Duchovny, and Jeff Goldblum were screen-tested for the role. They actually all screen-tested. Weird.
Oh, wow.
I just don't see Steve Buscemi in the role. I'm sorry. I can see David Duchovny, maybe, but... The Hulk doesn't show up in his full form until 42 minutes into the fucking movie.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
The Hulk was originally supposed to be animatronic and not CGI.
Oh my god.
That'd have been interesting. Sam Elliott was also in Ghost Rider, another Marvel movie. So, Betty Ross was played by Jennifer Connelly, and in The Incredible Hulk, she was replaced by Liv Tyler, who played her on-screen sister in Inventing the Abbots. I don't know.
Wow.
These are just interesting little facts here, folks. This fact is interesting here, Matt.
Yep.
The film holds the record for the largest second-week box office drop for a film that opened at number one, with a 69.7% drop.
Wow.
From opening week, yeah.
Dang.
This is something that will make you feel better. The frog was fake.
Well, I figured that much.
Okay, just letting you know.
I'm not going to
kill a real frog.
No.
I just thought I'd let you know that it was fake, because, you know, they didn't kill a frog. Yeah, Lou Ferrigno and Stan Lee both have cameos. Yep. So, that's the entertaining movie that is Hulk 2003. Yeah. I mean, not 2013. I almost said 13. It would have been a lot better if it was
probably
that.
It would have been a lot better, yeah.
Do you want to take another break here, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with some reviews of the film from the Internet Movie Database.
Okay.
Those are always fun to read.
Yeah, they are.
You sound excited, Matt.
I'm very excited.
You're not angry, are you?
No. I'm not angry.
Because we wouldn't like you when you're angry, right? Okay, we'll be back here, folks.
Hey, folks, this is Michael E. Cullen II. From the podcast that you're listening to right now, along with
Matthew Haas.
We just wanted to tell you about our great, great podcast
called
It's called All Too Real. And on that show, what do we do, Matt?
We watch biopics, and then we talk about whether or not the movie matched up with the real story or not.
So
it's a lot more exciting than that, though.
Yeah, right? So we analyze the real story and the real story.
Get it?
Get it?
Real. You know?
Yeah, they're spelled differently, yeah. Folks. You can guess which one I said which way.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, sometimes we have a guest, sometimes we don't. But we talk about great movies like Shattered Glass,
yes,
and The Social Network and A Futile and Stupid Gesture, among others. Those are some of the ones that we've covered so far, and we're going to cover a lot more. So please subscribe on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your great fun podcasts. And be sure to share it with your friends.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
And make sure you're not afraid to get all too real. Bye-bye.
And we are back. So.
Yeah.
The Hulk. Our Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
This movie makes me angry.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not going to Hulk out, though. Mm. No. No, I'm not.
You're not going to bulk out, either.
No.
The Amazing Bulk.
Yes, we have to watch that sometime. God, no, I'm joking. Anyways, so let's take a look at some reviews from the Internet Movie Database here, Matt.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to start with a one-star review.
Sounds appropriate.
This is from Belle et la B. From May 13th of 2007. Warning, spoilers, folks. The headline is, I got so angry I thought I'd turn into the Hulk. I admit I've never read the Hulk comic books, but I didn't read Spider-Man either, and I know I loved those movies, including the third one. But this one, oh, it redefines crap. I would rather watch Daredevil or the Fantastic Four than sit through this garbage. First off, it's far too long, and I'm one of those people who'd like to see a long, accurate Harry Potter. I was almost falling asleep in my chair even during the action scenes. Second, towards the ending, where he keeps having those weird dream sequences, I don't really know how to describe them, but I remember I kept saying, okay, let's move on now. And finally, I don't remember how he beat his dad, whatever villain he was, but I'm surprised that he was able to beat him and escape to Mexico, ? What the hell was up with that? Oh, God, I don't wish this movie upon anybody. Go see something better like ... anything else.
Well, just one clarification. Defeated his dad by giving him all of his radiation.
Yes.
That's what happened. So, or at least that's what it looked like, so.
Okay, here's another one-star review from Ooga Plube. Ooga Plube.
Okay.
This is from June 16th, 2003, right around the time the movie came out. Skip it. Guys, this movie is terrible. The trailers are bad. The movie is worse. I saw a screening of it, and it is terrible. The cheesy special effects were bad. The father-son storyline between the Hulk and his dad has been played over and over hundreds of different movies. Really, it has?
I don't know about that.
This movie offered nothing fresh and some really corny one-liners. You'll be smarter to put your money towards a more promising-looking movie like Terminator 3. Wow. That will actually have a story. I mean, I'll give him that. I actually do enjoy Terminator 3 better than this movie. But the Hulk could... The Hulk, you could tell, was a CG effect. And how else could they do it? They did the Predator from Predator as makeup costume, and it looked totally realistic. The Hulk here stands out like a sore thumb. A really bad love story mixed with cheesy subplots plus bad CG effects. Add some corny action equal a really bad movie. Save your money for popcorn and pop for a different movie, because this movie was just awful. 1 out of 10. Okay.
Harsh.
This movie actually does have a lot of good reviews.
Oh, really?
On here. Yeah, which is interesting. And this one I kind of agree with. I mean, I agree with what they're saying here. This is from December of 2011, from Luke 070069. It's an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
It says, wrong market, right idea. I feel bad for this movie.
It was destined to be disliked. For a start, it's a readaptation of a comic book which has never done well enough for diehard fans of them, leading to them being angry with the film's crew. It also had the problem of being complicated for a relatively simple audience who expected a blockbuster to equate to more things blowing up. From an objective standpoint, this is a fine movie that is beautifully composed and deals with many themes and a gripping plot. The CGI is not as bad as everyone seems to think it is. I don't watch a movie to see a green man constructed from images, but from his character, his dialogue, his personality. The comic book style editing and interesting soundtrack go quite well with this adaptation and the once famous Hulk. Instead of a traditional blockbuster, which would have been a fast-paced action flick with unnecessary humor, it was a movie with depth that made you think slightly. It is a movie about a green man in purple shorts, lest we forget. Compared to its reboot, filled with cliched characters and predictable ending between two biological beasts, one using his powers for good and the other for evil, he has to face something more than the U.S. Army, the source of his evil. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I could have agreed with that if that's actually what they wanted to do with it, and just not do both at the same time.
And it just... No. I mean, I understand that if... It just wasn't written well. Mm-hmm. I mean, no offense to the people that wrote it. I just... The pacing was bad, and, mm-hmm. and there wasn't enough explanation for things. I mean, or sometimes there's too much, and then there wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense. I mean, that's my main issue with it. I think that's about all I'm going to read as far as reviews go, because a lot of them are just, you know, treading over the same area, so yeah. It's not, you know, there's no point. But, I mean, basically, you could either see this as a deep, you know, philosophical film, which I can see that they were trying to be, but I don't think that they properly did it. Would you recommend anybody watch this movie, Matt?
No, not really. I wouldn't.
Me either, really. I mean, even though I've seen it 3 times now, at least, so we'll see.
I wouldn't even watch this, like, just kind of staying up late and, like, just kind of just chilling out, like, on a couch. I wouldn't even have this on while I'm doing something else, like playing a video game or something like that. I just, because it would be so, like... Something's it's okay to have something boring that's on, but something that's like too boring, even though you're not paying attention to it, it's still it's like it almost like makes you angry a little bit, like because like
this no thing pun is, intended.
Yeah, this thing's so like boring. Why do I even have this thing like on? Like,
yeah, it almost makes you angry, like you said. Yeah, I don't think I'd really recommend it to anybody. I don't know, maybe if I was on a desert island and this was the only movie that I had. Yeah. I don't know why I'd have electricity on this desert island.
It's entertainment to some degrees. So yeah.
I still never understood that. You know, you can bring one movie on a desert island. What would it be? And my thing is first off, where am I getting the fucking electricity to watch this fucking movie?
Right. Well, it's because they kidnap you and they just put you in this little space. they got enough electricity just for you to watch a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like. Then they're monitoring you to see what, you know, how you'll react. It's almost like a psychological test, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they mean by that, I guess.
So I thought this was always like a good thing.
No.
Yeah, not. Okay.
No.
I'm sad.
It was all meant to test you to see how you would react. Yep. We're all just, you know, monkeys in a glass cage being monitored by. I lost that analogy, but...
Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage.
Despite all of my rage, I am Billy Corgan, who became a crazy right-winger Alex Jones fan.
Yes.
Sorry, it doesn't rhyme, but...
It didn't? I thought that did.
I love how Billy... I know it's, like, it's totally off tangent, but I love how he's, like... So, like, if you listen to, like... any of the early Smashing Pumpkin stuff, and, you know, it's all about, like, rebelling against authority, and you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the man I want to be. I don't, you know, want you know, be dictated, you know, how I'm going to be, you know, like, you know, because he was like, you know, poetic and, you know, like, you know, sincere or whatever the word, you know, sensitive, you know, so he, you know, he's not like the traditional masculine man. But now he goes on Alex Jones like a few years ago and he's talking about like, yeah, I remember when I was a kid and we watched TV shows and the father was always like a really strong and masculine figure. And now, you know, he's always like a bumbling buffoon and, you know, it like makes you like hate men and stuff like that. But I thought your songs, you were talking about how you didn't want to be the patriarchal figure. That was a good thing. But now you're saying it's a bad thing. But that's what you yourself were trying to emulate what is now happening, but now it's a bad thing because it's on TV, huh? Like I don't understand the logic here.
But
like,
just remember, Matt, the world is a vampire, yes, sent to drain.
Yes.
Anyway, so
sorry, can I take one more thing?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
This reminds me, I don't know why, I'm all over the place now, just because I want something entertaining to come out of this fucking, yes, thing. Okay, so there's this line, and you remember the movie Bowfinger with Steve Martin,
yeah,
and Heather.
It's my third favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, Heather Graham.
Yeah,
and Eddie Murphy. Obviously Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Okay, so there's this line where he's like really likes Heather Graham character, and he's trying to like impress her and stuff like that, and she says, I'm trying to get like just, you know, figure out like what she's interested in. She goes, yeah, I love the Smashing Pumpkins. He goes, oh yeah, me too, if we can go get some. Like, he thought literally Smashing Pumpkins. It's like one of my favorite lines ever of a movie. Like
Chubby Rain.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have a choice between watching Hulk and Bowfinger.
Oh yeah,
watch Bowfinger.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Anyways, so anything else before we wrap things up here?
No, just you know, look out for the crisis. It's coming.
Yes. Dun dun dun. Okay. And until next time, same all too real time.
Yeah.
Same all too real channel. I've been Michael E. Cullen the second.
And I am Matthew Oliver Queen. I don't know.
You're Matthew Haas.
Matthew Haas, yeah.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen the second. Music by Matthew Haas. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.